Yeah, applause is good. You know, when we rehearse these songs, sometimes you get all choked up because you look at the words, you know. And Rob tells us, all right, sing the notes, don't look at the words. Okay, if you look at the words, you're dead. So just sing the notes, don't look at the words. What he didn't tell us is that when we're singing the words and looking at the notes, and then look out at you, it's all over. We lose it anyway. Powerful songs for a powerful time in our calendar. This is the day we recognize that Jesus gave his life for us. It's called the Passion. It's called the Passion for a reason. It's his love. Such love that he would give his own life to ransom us, to deliver us, to forgive us. That's a pretty powerful statement. And he knew it from the beginning, and he took it all the way to the end. I don't know. Only he could do that, of course. And I love that this year, Passover, which started at sundown tonight, falls on the same day as Good Friday and the resurrection, and a very powerful weekend coinciding two religious organizations and groups and peoples to converge on the same time of the year. And Passover was pretty much the most important holiday in the Jewish calendar, because it commemorated their deliverance. Actually, it's their salvation story. They were delivered from the oppression of slavery in Egypt. And God stepped in and he gave them instructions on exactly what they were supposed to do. This is their salvation story. In Exodus, it says this: while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. The salvation that God gave to Israel was so important that he changed the entire calendar of the world for them and for this event. I think that's amazing. They already had a calendar in place. They were following the months and the days and the years. But because of this deliverance, he had them change the calendar of history to reflect their salvation. It's like a statement of being born again. They were given a new month, a new year, a new time to start over again. Everything would change for them from this day going forward. Is that amazing to you, or is it just me? I just don't understand that. And then many hundreds of years later, can you imagine? God would inspire the world calendar to be changed again, to coincide with the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're given a new year, a new time to start all over again. And our entire calendar as we view it today revolves around Jesus and what he did for us. It's like crazy. But I guess God's kind of crazy. He doesn't do things the way we think he's going to do things. But he's always right. And so here we are tonight. We heard the choir sing. We heard Mary Kate bring us that beautiful song, "The Day He Wore My Crown." The choir song written in red. And these songs tell of the story of Jesus' love for us, and how he gave himself and shed his blood for you and for me. We should get choked up at those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Simple message. Billy Graham preached it for 99 years. Never deviated from the plan. Never contorted it with theological fluff or scholarly injections. He preached the Word of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son for us. Simple, powerful. And the Passover lamb at that time in history was carefully selected. It was a lamb that had to be in its prime of life, 1 year old. No spots, blemishes, nothing that would change its appearance from perfection. And it had to be sacrificed whole. None of its bones could be broken. It should be sounding kind of familiar to you by now. Jesus lived a perfect, sinful life. No one else on earth ever had. He had no blemishes to his character or his body. And he was sacrificed in the prime of life, 33 years old. When most people are getting started, when your kids are starting a family, he was put to death. In perfection. And in the process of this gruesome crucifixion, not one of his bones was broken. And when the Roman soldiers came to those others who were crucified along with him, they broke their legs to speed up their death. Because the only way that they could possibly get air was to stand up while on the cross, get a breath, and collapse again, and continue that over and over again. So they would break their legs so they couldn't get any air, and they would die faster because sundown was coming and Passover was about to start. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. And so he fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, and none of his bones were broken. And before this great and terrible day, darkness was all around him. He brought his core group of Peter, James, and John, and he said, "Stay over here and pray. Watch and pray." And he went off by himself to pray alone. But when he returned, he found them sleeping. He did this 3 times, and they failed him all 3 times. It's kind of sad, I guess, but I find myself in that same situation many times. My intentions are good. I want to pray. And then I find myself drooling on my shirt, sitting in my chair in front of my computer, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. None of you can relate, I understand. The Bible tells us that he was in such anguish during this time that his sweat seemed like drops of blood. That's how tortured he was in his spirit. Hebrews 5:7 says he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. He knew what was ahead of him, and he was in anguish. But he kept going forward in the Spirit's power. But the darkness continued to close in on him. And the enemy, of course, Satan, was at work in all of this as well. He knew Jesus' twofold mission of his ministry. He came to save his people from their sins, and he came to destroy the works of the enemy, the devil. So, of course, he was doing everything that he could to thwart this mission of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was acting according to the plan and the will of God. In Isaiah 53, 9 and 10, it says he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And yet it was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God. We have nothing on our own. It's all because of Jesus. And we could become the righteousness of God because he who knew no sin took your place, took my place, became sin in our place. We're told that we were dead in our sin from the beginning. We didn't have a chance. You see, if you wanted to be righteous in God's sight on your own power, then you would have to live a perfect, sinless life. He says, be there perfect, because God is perfect. So, I don't want to make a show of hands because I wouldn't want to embarrass you, but who has never sinned? The first time you deviated from the will of God in your life, the first time that you took a turn the wrong way and blew it, you became condemned. I became condemned in God's sight. There's nothing you can do to fix that. There's no remediation of failing God. You can't go back in time. You can't undo what you've done. None of us can. So is there any fix to the situation? Not really. Not on our own. So Jesus came to rescue us. Thank God. Thank God. He gave his life as an atonement for that sin, paid the penalty that was due us. And all of humanity would have been destined and is destined to that same fate. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So knowing this, how could God allow all of humanity to be condemned forever? Doesn't sound like a loving God sometimes, does it? So there must be a remedy. He wouldn't leave us destitute. He wouldn't leave us in that condition. And he didn't. So Jesus came to earth, God with us. And he offered himself as a human sacrificial lamb, that same Passover lamb for the forgiveness of sin back thousands of years ago. And he took that job. And he became our Passover lamb, the ultimate Passover lamb, an offering for our sin. He came to die. That was his mission. That was his purpose. That was the will of God. His disciples didn't really want to hear it, but that's exactly what he did. And we have freedom from oppression of the sin in life because of his death. So the realities of prophecy was fulfilled in what he did. He gave his life for all, once for all. not a repetitive sacrificial process that was the Old Testament times. When he gave his life, it was once done for all of us. And so Jews all over the world celebrate Passover today with their Seder meal, commemorating the salvation of the people of Israel from the bondage that they were in Egypt. And we too, today, commemorate the salvation of our souls from the bondage to sin and death through this crucifixion, this gruesome execution of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. So while we reflect tonight on the torture and the tragedy of his death in this barbaric way, we also celebrate Good Friday. That's why it's called Good Friday. It was a terrible day, but for us, it's the best day we could have. Because he demonstrated his love for you and for me. And if it wasn't for that, we'd still be lost in our trespasses and sins. But we're free. Because he took on himself, our destiny, as prisoners. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Rescuer, our King. Victorious. And the story isn't over yet. There's more to come. He isn't finished with us yet. Stay tuned. I hope you come back tomorrow. We'll have the choir singing the entire cantata and pick up where we left off with the next part of the message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight, for this time that we have to reflect, to remember, to appreciate what you've done for us. Lord, we love you, but only because you first loved us. And we would not be in any condition to be worshiping together, to be in this place together, if it wasn't for what you've done. And so we thank you. We will be eternally grateful. And at some point in time in our future life, we will be worshiping before your throne with thanksgiving for all of eternity. Because that's what you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. If you're not here, I'm going to come and hunt you down.